Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks for being with us. We have a very exciting guest this evening. Hiya Leah Aronson, RN, specializes in bellies in several different ways. So we'll be talking about her work, which I'm very curious about. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And I've been musing about change because there are several things in my life that are changing. And one of them is that my girlfriend and I are figuring out how to move in together. So she lives about 2 hours away, and her way of dealing with it is she already has most of the stuff that she wants to get rid of thrown out, stuff packed up. She's organized all this stuff. Down here, I was just trying to find an apartment that would work for us and for my daughter. So I'm making phone calls and not getting a whole lot of response and seeing some things that look like they might work, but nothing exciting. And it was just kind of strangely quiet and not moving. And in a college town, things start to happen in the rental market in April because the students leave in June and they want to have all the spaces filled up for the fall. So I was like, I don't know what's going on here. Well, in the last week, we found out that my girlfriend's company, because during the day she's on her off time, supposedly off time, she's an amazing healer, but during the day she works in a big corporation. And the corporation is moving her entire unit to another state. And we'll pay for the move and we'll move me. And, you know, there's all of this process of moving lots and lots of people, including the two of us. So it didn't matter. The universe was not going to give us an apartment here. It just couldn't tell us yet why. And I think there are a lot of things like that in life where we say, okay, I'm going to do this. And you sit down and you make your list and you make your plan and then you start making it happen. And that's not a bad thing. You need to do that. You know, you need to do linear things. You need to take the actions that are necessary to make it happen. But you also have to listen to the feedback. And you're always getting feedback from the universe. You're always getting a response to whatever you're doing. And sometimes the response looks like resistance. It looks like things aren't happening. It looks like, what's going on here? Why can't I get whatever it is next on the list? And sometimes that's the answer. The answer is something else is cooking here. The time is not right for you to know about it, but it's going to be even better than what you've put together. We heard you. We're moving where you want, but there's something else going on here. So I'm just encouraging people to listen with a different sense, with a different sensibility to what's going on. And don't always take resistance or what appears to be a no or slow response as a bad thing. Sometimes it means the timing's wrong. Sometimes it means something else is coming. And sometimes it does mean, no, don't do that. Wait a minute, we'll show you something better. So that's this evening's metaphysical musing. And now let's start our conversation with Hiya Leah Aronson, RN. How are you tonight, Hiya?
I'm pretty good. Yeah.
Great. And Hiya is practically a neighbor. She lives down the road a few towns over. We've never met, but I figured that out looking at her website, which is kind of amusing. So you do some very fascinating work, but it's all focused on the abdomen. It's all focused on the belly. So why don't I let you introduce your work and the different kinds of modalities you do, and then we can talk about all the amazing things you do.
Thank you, David. So a few years ago, it just happened that everything that I was doing was revolved entirely around the belly, and I'm totally loving it more and more every day. I was already a nurse, and I became involved in the VR Vigo techniques of Mayan abdominal massage for my own personal health and healing reasons, and which I can talk about at some point tonight, because this is it's a health condition that is coming up more and more for women in particular, and there aren't a lot of good Western medical solutions, if any, really. So I started receiving Mayan abdominal massage, and I just knew that it was what I wanted to do with my life. So I started studying. It originated in Central America. The word Mayan refers to, like, of the Mayan people as opposed to of the muscles. And my teacher, Rosita Arvigos, studied with a few different traditional healers in Belize. Her main teacher, who she apprenticed with for years, his name was Don Eligio, and he lived to about 103, and he was the last in Belize. He was the last living Mayan medicine man, shaman, healer. And she went through... She went through quite a journey to convince him to let her apprentice with him. He just kept saying, "No way, you're a gringa," which means you're a white woman. You're just gonna go back to the States and you're gonna leave, and I'm gonna have spent all of the rest of my life teaching a white woman my practice, and then my people are not gonna be taken care of. So she was just, you know, she just kept going back and helping him harvest medicine and whatever it was that he needed help with, she helped him. And finally he looked at Rosita and he said, "Okay, Rosita, I see that you are pure of heart. So I'm going to teach you what I know, but you need to promise that you're going to stay here and take care of my people." So Rosita is still there in Belize, and she also travels around and teaches all over the States, and she's gone to England, and there's some people teaching in Greece, though I don't know that Rosita has gone to Greece to teach. So the main focus of Mayan abdominal massage, and I will say that it's great for men too, but the main focus and what Rosita studied for a long time was the uterus and how the position of the uterus affects the health of the woman. And the uterus, we can kind of see the uterus as like a microcosm for the whole female entity, like how it just expresses how it expresses our true nature in these really particular and vague ways all at the same time. So when the uterus is not in the right position, you know, it can be tilted too far forwards and it's pushing on the bladder, and then women have to pee all the time and maybe they get bladder infections and they probably get really terrible PMS and bloating and tender breasts, and all of these symptoms come. And Rosita's theory around that, and Don Eligio's as well, is that the uterus is out of alignment, so it's creating all of these symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... fascinating to me, all the things that are affected by relatively minor differences in the position of the organs, which happen for all kinds of reasons, I would assume, that they're being chronically held in the wrong position.
Absolutely.
I just went to a chiropractor who did various tests and figured out my diaphragm was in the wrong place and readjusted that. I was like, totally amazed. And it made a huge difference.
Yeah, I bet.
So, what kinds of things would... Why would someone come to you? What would be the typical thing that you work on?
I get a lot of women coming in because they just have really painful menstrual cycles. Mm-hmm. I also get women with varying degrees of severity of endometriosis and fibroids, women who have been trying to get pregnant and are having a hard time getting pregnant. Sometimes if the uterus is in the wrong position and you shift it, they'll just get pregnant right in the next cycle. Other times it takes longer. It just very much depends on how it got there and how long it's been there and how stuck it is and how much it wants to move and, you know, all of these details. I get a lot of women and men with chronic lower back pain. The uterus has a lot of different ligaments that attach in different places, some, you know, in the front and the groin fold, other attachments around the sacrum and the lumbar spine. So if the uterus is out of alignment, you know, it's creating different, you know, organic discomforts, like of the organ discomforts, as well as like pulling on the sacrum and the lower back in different ways that can create a lot of pain and discomfort. Lots of digestive issues, and usually all these things go hand in hand. I rarely have someone come in and say, I have severe endometriosis, but my digestion works perfectly, you know?
Right, right.
and actually, of all of these women who I work with, a lot of them have had sexual trauma in their history. So that's something that comes up. So we work on the physical level, and we also, you know, acknowledge and care for the emotional and the spiritual things that come up when you're going in and healing these pieces that are physical, but right. they're also, you know, trauma-based and to some degree a lot of times.
So you're seeing a correlation between the inner structures of the abdomen and early trauma.
Absolutely.
So kind of a pulling away or a retracting from something traumatic. It's interesting what the body does.
Yeah, and we just hold all of our emotions in our bellies in different ways that are so specific to the individual, yet I also see these overarching themes between, you know, women who get chronic urinary tract infections or women who have, you know, fibroids or endometriosis. I just see these overarching themes that I'm still kind of classifying and defining to some degree.
I think
that will be a lifelong process.
Right. And finding the patterns.
Right.
You know, which is one of the things that happens in my work, which is in so many ways totally different from yours. But I've noticed that if the lower chakras are chronically closed and the person has lots of aura damage and entity attachments and things like that, one of the first questions I ask is whether there was childhood trauma. And almost everybody with that pattern has childhood trauma.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is that another way that shows up for women is by the inner organs moving to new positions. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Totally fascinating. Now, one of the things that I found really fun about reading the description of what you do is the abdominal massage is not the only belly-related thing that you do.
That's true.
So tell us the other belly-related thing that you do.
I'm a belly dancer and teacher.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's so much fun. It's such a great compliment to the mind abdominal massage work. So there's lots of different styles of belly dance, and I don't teach the more traditional styles of belly dance. I really come from an angle of using the dance to heal our bodies and our pelvises and to enjoy sharing that time and space with women. So really, like, it's like womb-centered movement, I think of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like really engaging with the pelvis and learning to restructure how we engage the muscles of the pelvic floor. And a lot of my students have said their lives have changed from belly dancing. It's really amazing. Mm-hmm. Like their relationship to their self as sexual beings and just as women just changes as they start to feel more empowered in their bodies as movers and dancers and sensual beings. So that's been really amazing to witness and be part of.
Sounds like part of the same process.
It is. I'm realizing every day more and more that the parallels. And, you know, in my office, when I'm working with clients, oftentimes after a session, I'll say, this movement exercise would be really great for you, and it's a belly dance movement to help stretch and open the pelvic floor.
So are there specific, I guess it's a lot like yoga, specific stretches that are related to belly dancing and opening up all those movements?
I would say so, yeah. I don't know if they're as like defined and classified and named all the time as yoga postures, but I'm finding like specific movements help release specific muscles that are really deep in the abdomen, like some of the deeper oblique muscles. I haven't even found really yoga postures, and I've been practicing yoga for 10 years, and in 10 years there are muscles that I'm just now learning to engage and stretch and open in belly dance that I never figured out in yoga. Not to say they don't exist within yoga.
Years and years ago, when I was seriously practicing yoga, which unfortunately I haven't done in quite a while, I had an amazing teacher who had been a dancer for decades and then studied yoga and got totally passionate about yoga and started teaching. And she could get people to do things that, you know, you'd watch and you wouldn't believe that these beginners could get into the positions they got into. And every once in a while, she would do some series, and at the end of it, we would all be standing in the kind of temple pose that you would see in front of some temple in India. Just really fascinating stuff. And then she would explain that, you know, this movement, this rotation of your thigh is opening this, and this movement's doing that, and this movement's doing this, and the energy involved is this, and it's affecting all these chakras. And it was all related to those dance movements from India and the temple poses. And there are not many people that know those relationships. It was just amazing to watch and be a part of that.
I bet. Sounds incredible.
Yeah, so there probably are people around that have that bridge between the stuff that you're seeing in belly dance and the stuff that probably came before belly dance from the Far East. That were the movements that started in the temple dances and then moved all over the world. I'm always amazed to watch. I have a friend who does flamenco, which has some of the same arm movements as belly dancing.
It does.
You know, there are just so many dance styles from all over the world that have those, I guess, classic movements from the Far East and how far they've moved into all the different cultures.
I recently took a belly dance workshop with a dancer from New York named Irina Akulenko, and it was a mixture. She fuses flamenco and belly dance.
Wow.
Yeah, I learned that I'm a terrible flamenco dancer. I'm going to stick to belly dancing and my abdominal massage.
Well, that sometimes has to do with the teacher. And since I know how close you are in Northampton, there's a flamenco teacher that's evidently wonderful. But
great. I don't know.
You know, what I found is the more you're saying, I don't know, and you're not sure you can do it, the more important it is to try it, which is one of those lessons that I hate and I learn it over and over again.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
You want
me to
do
what?
What
are we here for if it's not to grow and learn, right?
Right. It's that feeling of, you want me to do what exactly?
But and universe.
You really think I'm going to do that to you? You know, and then after you've done it for a while, you go, oh, that's so cool. And I can actually do that. So, yeah.
We'll see.
So you also work with men. Not all of the work is involved with female internal organs. So when you're applying the Mayan abdominal massage to a man, what are the kinds of issues you address there?
Digestive issues across the board, lower back pain, any sacral sciatica pain, prostate congestion, BPH, I'm sure you've heard that term before, benign prostatic hyperplasia. It's when a man's mm-hmm. prostate enlarges. We've had great results with Mayan abdominal massage, along with some other complementary modalities for men and women. There are other complementary modalities that I recommend for a wide variety of health concerns, depending on what the issues are, sometimes herbs, sometimes castor packs, to support the overall, so that people can be doing things at home to take care of themselves. That's mm-hmm. a really empowering practice when people can take things home and practice. I teach all of my clients the self-care belly massage, which it's a great daily practice to have in your tool belt. Though I don't always recommend wearing an actual belt because it does constrict the flow of blood, nerves, lymph, and chi in the belly.
Right.
So if you have a belt, make sure it's not too tight. And anxiety, depression, vague emotional concerns like that. When we work on the upper belly, as you know, that's where the diaphragm sits from just having had your diaphragm mm-hmm. adjusted. So the diaphragm actually has three holes in it. There's holes for the vena cava, the aorta, and the esophagus to move right through. So the vena cava and the aorta are the two major vessels of blood movement in the body, and the esophagus is how the food gets down into the stomach. So if the diaphragm is constricted, it's restricting the blood flow to and away from all of the major organs in the belly and then back to the heart. And it's also restricting the movement of food down into the belly to go through a normal, healthy digestive process. So just the action of loosening and softening the area around the diaphragm can have profound results for health, overall abdominal health, as well as stress, anxiety, depression, and things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I noticed immediate differences in digestion, but also in breathing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Which is pretty obvious because it's the diaphragm, but, I would just go out for a walk, and for the first 5 or 10 minutes, there would be a real sense of resistance and not being able to take a deep breath. And
that's a big one for people.
Yeah, and as soon as he said basically, I'm putting your diaphragm back where it belongs. As soon as that was done, the differences were profound. So, I'll tell you about the other piece to it in a few minutes, because we're coming up on a break and I want to make sure people know where to find you. And I also want to give out the phone number for people to call in and ask questions. So Hyalea Aronson can be found at purplerosabdominalmassage.com. And I'll make sure we have some time for you to tell people about how they can get in touch with you and what classes you're offering and all that kind of stuff. If people would like to call in and ask questions, because this is such a wonderful opportunity to ask questions about something you don't really get to talk about much, the number is 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. So we're coming up against our little break, and we'll find out what Sassy is doing this evening. This is David Farkas on the Farkas Files, and we will be right back with Hyalea Aronson.
Some statistics are surprising, some are unbelievable, and some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, sweetheart. Where's the little guy? In school?
Yep, just dropped him off. Is your hair getting whiter, or is that paint?
Actually, I'm painting your old room.
Did you take down my David Cassidy posters?
Nah, I painted over them.
Dad!
Just kidding.
Why were you painting my old room?
You had a purple room.
Moby Grape.
Well, your mom and I are upsizing. We're hosting a foreign exchange student from Cairo.
What about me and your grandson?
Come on, it'll be a great experience for everybody.
We'll never see you. You'll be taking her to the museum and the zoo and...
Sweetheart, you know how great it'll be for my grandson to experience another culture. He could learn another language, new customs.
I never thought of that. Got an extra paintbrush?
The time is now. Open up your life. Find out how to have a foreign exchange student live with you. Every family has something special to share. Go to hoststudents.org. That's hoststudents.org.
Imagine
Sassy.
My grandson speaking Arabic.
Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back. I always have the sassy public service announcements on my show. I think the engineer Bob does it on purpose. And I now almost have them all memorized. And part of what I love is Sassy's attitude, but the other part is my girlfriend's an animal communicator. So I'm just sitting here giggling about the conversation with the dog. But we're back with Hialeah Aronson, and we're going to have more conversation about bellies and health. But first, I want to give you the phone number again for people to call in. Please call 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. So, Hiya, how do you explain to people, someone knows absolutely nothing about all of this stuff that you're talking about, and most people are not aware of internal organs or in general, much less anything esoteric about them. How do you introduce people to the idea that the position of the organs can affect all these things and what you can do for them?
Well, it depends on the context that we're in. I've given a number of talks, and when I give a talk, a lot of times there are people there who have no idea what it is that I do. And I actually have a uterus costume that I made and designed. And
I love it.
Yeah, it's great. It has all the ligaments attached to it and everything. And so we'll do like a live demonstration, and I'll ask somebody to put on the uterus costume, and then I'll invite two more volunteers, and I usually try to get them to volunteer before I tell them what they're going to do.
Right.
And one is going to essentially be a bladder, and one is going to be a rectum.
Yeah, I bet they argue over which is going to be which, right?
Exactly. So then we demonstrate how, like, different uterine positions affect those organs and affect the digestion mm-hmm. and affect bladder health. And, you know, then the next question is, like, well, how do the organs go out of alignment like that? How does the uterus go out of alignment? And why does the uterus go out of alignment as opposed to other organs? And other organs do go out of alignment, but the uterus is a special organ. I mean, all the organs are special, but the uterus is held up by all of these ligaments, and the ligaments have the capacity to stretch and accommodate for the fact that the uterus doubles in size every month during the menstrual cycle. It starts to grow. It goes from 4 ounces to 8 ounces, and I do have clay models that are to scale for that. You know, as the lining builds and women are about to bleed, the uterus grows from 4 ounces to 8 ounces, and the ligaments accommodate that growth and contraction every month. And then when a woman gets pregnant, the round ligament grows, I think it's from like 7-ish centimeters to like 17. It grows, it stretches exponentially. And that's a lot of stretch for a ligament to undergo. Ligaments do not receive a lot of blood flow. So that's, you know, that's what makes the uterus special. How can it move out of alignment? Sometimes women are just born like that. Sometimes it's genetic. A lot of times, almost every single client I've ever had who has ridden horses as a child, mm-hmm. almost all of them have uteruses or uteri that are tilted backwards. When you fall off a horse or you fall and take a nice nasty spill to your sacrum or tailbone, the mm-hmm. uterus, it moves. It moves backwards oftentimes. And that's a particularly difficult position to work with. It's possible, but it's harder.
And most people, you know, we're talking about internal anatomy, and I know what the organs are, but I would guess that the percentage of people that have any idea what's in their body, other than some idea that the heart's in the middle of their chest and the lungs are up there somewhere and there's a stomach, most people have no idea where the internal organs are or what they do.
That's,
you know,
true.
They've seen some stuff in a science class for a week, which they tried not to look at because it's gross. And, you know, that I have a teenager. But, you know, they don't really know what's going on inside the body, which I would imagine is a tremendous challenge in terms of trying to explain things to people. And one of the things about all the pictures I've ever seen of the feminine anatomy and the uterus is it just seems to float there in the middle of space.
Yeah, it's true.
In the middle of the abdomen. It's like, oh, how does it do that? So, you know, it's fascinating to me to know that it's connected to ligaments and all that kind of stuff. But I would imagine most people have no sense of that at all.
Yeah, nor do they really have much of a sense of, like, where in the body the uterus sits. I find that most people think that it's a lot higher in the body than it actually is.
Mm.
But it's actually, like, pretty low down in the pelvis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Underneath your pubic bone, which also many people have no idea where their pubic bones are.
Right. Right. You know, people throw the terms around, but when you finally get down to where are these parts and what do they feel like and where are they and how do they affect things? So,
I mean, I just kind of assume that anybody who comes into my office has no idea, not in a judgmental way. I mean, they have lots of information about things I know nothing about, you know? So I just kind of assume that they don't know where their pubic bone is and just kind of ask questions as though they may not know.
Right. Right. So what other kinds of practices or ways of teaching people do you have that connect all this together? You know, the sense of the abdominal organs and the awareness of belly dancing and the stretching are three things that you've already talked about. But how does that all work together?
I don't know if I'm 100% clear on what you're asking.
I'm not sure I'm 100% clear on what
Well, good. Let's start there.
Well, it's just such an unusual set of practices, and I totally understand how powerful they can be because of what you're adjusting. But it sounds like you have a much broader understanding of everything that has to do with the belly and belly organs and how it's connected to all kinds of aspects of health, and connected to other aspects of the body, like the muscles and
right.
stretching and all the rest of it. So you've got a unique understanding of all of this stuff, and I'm just curious how it, maybe the question is how it fits together for you.
Well, I think that gets into a little bit of my own story around how I came to my abdominal massage, which is that I had interstitial cystitis, which I don't know if you've ever heard of that condition. It's a bladder condition that feels like a urinary tract infection. Men do get it, but it seems to afflict mostly women, and also mostly women who have a history of chronic urinary tract infections, which I did as a child and as a 17-year-old, and then up through some of my 20s, I would get urinary tract infections all the time. And they're quite uncomfortable. You have to pee all the time, and it hurts, and then you're done, and then you feel like you have to go again. And at least when it's an actual infection, you can just take antibiotics, and then it goes away, right? But with interstitial cystitis, it actually feels like a urinary tract infection. But when they test your urine, there's no bacteria. So that's the sort of thing, you know, the Western medicine people, they have no idea what to do about it. There's
right.
inflammation on the wall of the bladder, and they can't just kill it.
Right.
You know, that's how it works in Western medicine. There's a bacteria, you kill it. You know, there's something wrong, you take it out. Or, you remove it one way or another. So it just wasn't like that. And I did a lot of dietary changes. I had a great diet before, but I had to be very particular about what I ate. Citric acid, which is in almost everything, was like pouring battery acid on my bladder or something. Mm. It would send me into pain for a long time. So over time, I got it to a manageable place, but then somebody recommended that I try my abdominal massage, and I went to the first weekend-long training, which is a self-care training. You're required to take a weekend-long self-care class before you can train professionally, which seemed in perfect alignment with any kind of healing modality that I would want to devote myself to, and I just knew that it was what I wanted to do. And all at the same time, I was in nursing. I was just finishing nursing school, actually. So I was studying for the boards. I was a nurse. I had gone through this interstitial cystitis while in nursing school, and I started belly dancing while I was in nursing school too. And so for me, both of those practices together were really healing, and I'm now completely asymptomatic from interstitial cystitis. And if you look at the statistics on that disease, not many people come through that symptom-free the way I have. In fact, two people that Jack Kevorkian assisted in suicide had interstitial cystitis. They were not terminally ill. They were just so miserable that didn't want to anymore. So just to give you a sense of how much suffering is involved in living with that. But between my abdominal massage and belly dancing, it just completely restructured my pelvis. So through the movement, I learned a new alignment in my body and a new way of relating to the muscles that really involves, and this is something all of my dance students and all my clients hear me say over and over and over again. Are you holding tension in your pelvic floor muscles? Because we walk through our day, we drive through our day, and we just clench in our mm-hmm. pelvic floor muscles all the time. It's habitual. It's our habitual reaction to stress and life. And that creates certain bioenergetic patternings. And once we can learn to restructure how we relate to the muscles and when we're holding and when we're releasing, and through belly dance, there's definite flow to that. Like in certain movements, you're pulling up on the pelvic floor muscles and then releasing. So you're learning how to engage and release and have conscious control over those functions, which we're not really accustomed to having. So, you know, that practice in combination with working on my own belly, you know, the self-care massage practice I did religiously for a long time. And that is just the combination of those things really just softened and released these like deep old muscular and organic holdings. And I think a lot of what I learned from that, you know, for myself, I think I just shared some of that. And then how do you bring that to other people? Well, I know how much suffering I experienced from the ailment that I journeyed through. So I bring that level of compassion and sensitivity in both of those practices and how I share them with women and with people.
It's always fascinating to me how many healers start their journey by having their own injury or their own health problem. And in looking for a solution for that, find their teachers, you know, find a path that they can follow, that they get excited about, and then go on to mastering that and helping people with it. I know that was a big part of my process. One of the things we always talk about with guests is your path and the challenges on the path, because people look at anybody who has mastered their healing modality and go, oh, you're so amazing. You must have, you know, they all assume you were born that way and you just suddenly could do it. And that it didn't take any effort. And everybody who does this work has a story of challenges and, you know, whether it's an illness that started the process or the struggles that went on along the way. Think, you know, the classic story is your teacher, you know, who spent years and years and years gaining the trust of her teacher so right. that she could learn this incredibly ancient tradition. And that's the classic story of the apprentice.
Yeah.
And the apprentice becoming the master.
Right. And then the teacher is also our own bodies, right?
Right. Well, it's your own journey, and if you're starting out with a physical ailment or a physical injury or whatever you're working on, yeah, your body is your teacher. Quick story from my life. My teacher has been my hip, and I didn't realize. It took a long time. I thought I had low back pain. You know, it was a low back issue. I did yoga, chiropractic, all kinds of things. And when it finally got really bad and I was at a physical therapist, she said, oh, you've got to get this x-rayed and looked at by a surgeon. And I was very, very resistant. And he looked at it, and the first thing he said was, you do know this is congenital, right? Now, this thing has been x-rayed 4 times in my life, and nobody ever said that. And I immediately knew that there wasn't going to be anything that I could do with that bone that was going to make my hip feel better. It never fit together right in the first place, and it had been pretty badly beaten up all these decades. So I got a hip replacement, which is a miserable thing to go through.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it takes a while to heal from, and I'm 8 months afterwards now, and I'm really walking better than I have in 15 years. But it's a heck of a way of getting there. But up until that point, my hip was my teacher. All the problems, many of the problems in my life were focused around the things I couldn't do because my leg hurt, my hip hurt, my back hurt. It was all about this hip. So I negotiated with the surgeon who had to negotiate with the queen of the operating room to, you know, because it wasn't his decision to get the bone, that they were cutting out. I said, you know, it's my teacher, and it, number one, deserves respect and to be cared for appropriately. But, you know, I need to do something with this. I don't know what yet. So for months, when I still couldn't walk and I was miserable, it just sat in the freezer until I could walk. I knew I had to be able to walk out into the woods and do the ceremony with it. And I found a shaman in New Hampshire who helped me do a fire ceremony with it. And we did, you know, a proper cremation. And I, in that process, I released into the fire everything that had gone on for all these decades, everything I had learned, said thank you to it, all the pain, all the confusion, all of that stuff, released it into the fire. And 2 weeks later, my walking changed completely. It was just an amazing transition. And it was, you know, this, my body was my teacher, and part of the process of even doing the medical model thing, which worked beautifully for me, under these circumstances, I still need to do the ceremonial part and the emotional part. And that deep healing was a very big part of why I have the function that I have now. So that piece is always there.
Yeah.
And not often acknowledged.
Sorry.
Not often acknowledged and not often, you know, brought into consciousness while you're working on all of this. So I assume that you teach classes and you have all kinds of things. Why don't you tell people what your offerings are?
Yeah, I teach belly dance classes at the Blue Guitar Studio in East Hampton, Mass. There's lots of information about that at venusrisingbellydance.com. And I have an office I just opened. I've been practicing mine abdominal massage for 2.5 years. And I've shared spaces, but for the very first time, just a couple of weeks ago, I moved into my very own office space. So,
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really exciting and really beautiful space. I'm really excited to bring more people into and to share and to just facilitate lots of incredible healing work. And so I offer sessions in the center of Northampton, right on King Street, 94 King Street. I'm having an office opening celebration, free tea, raw chocolate, mm-hmm. and uterine position assessments this coming Saturday from 10 to 3, and there's more information on that at purpleroseabdominalmassage.com. I also teach mind abdominal massage day-long workshops where we delve into the history and lineage of the work and the male and female reproductive systems, the digestive tract, and how to support the health of all of these systems through mind abdominal massage and then through some of the complementary modalities that, as a practice, we recommend. I don't have any current classes. It's an 8-hour all-day class. I don't have any scheduled right now, but you can stay posted at Purple Rose Abdominal Massage for more information as they come up.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific. And very exciting that you have a space and that you have a space right in Northampton, which is very cool.
Yeah. It's
many
gorgeous.
Many blessings on your new space.
Thank you so much. Actually, I'd love to share one more thing that's been a really big part of my life around the belly.
Mm-hmm.
I work with Elisa Starkweather, who's a women's empowerment facilitator. She does really incredible work and is responsible for really lifting the Red Tent Temple movement. That's a big piece for women gathering together, and she has run the Women's Belly and Womb Conference for, we just had our 12th Belly and Womb Conference this past November, and for the last 3 years I've been helping her facilitate the conference. So that's been a really big piece, and it's a really amazing conference that happens every November. It's Sirius Community Center in Shutesbury, Mass.
Mm-hmm.
We build a beautiful red tent, really beautiful temple space in the octagon, which is a giant octagonal room that's upstairs. Sirius is pretty off the grid permaculture. They have permaculture workshops and all kinds of really amazing offerings there. But the day is full of like amazing women's empowerment classes of all forms, like from belly dance to like being with our sexuality to spiritual bathing, all kinds of amazing offerings. So that's been a really big, beautiful experience that I've been blessed to have in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do know where Sirius is. I used to live right across the street when they were first starting. No, it was a few houses up, and Yusef Lattice's former house. I don't know if he still owns it. But it was directly across from the Sirius driveway. We actually put the sign on our mailbox that said frivolous because they were getting way too serious. So there were two mailboxes, one was serious and one was frivolous. They didn't like that much.
That's cute.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, you're doing such amazing work. And again, I want people to know that you can reach Hialeah Aronson at purplerosabdominalmassage.com and get more information about her work. Is there anything else you want to share with people right now?
I think I feel pretty complete. Yeah.
Excellent. So we had a side conversation going on, which we can continue tomorrow. And talk a little bit about how people can get in touch with me and who we're going to have on next week. So if you want to see more about my work, you can find it at househealing.com. And cleverly hiding on the contact page is every possible way to get in touch with me, including a link that lets you make a telephone appointment so we can avoid phone tag and email tag trying to do that. We have a new web address for the show, for the Farkas Files, and very cleverly, it's thefarkasfiles.com. We'll take you directly to the page on empowerradio.com that is for the show, and that's the complete archive of the show and what's coming the next week. And very exciting news, all of the shows on Empower Radio, including the Farkas Files, are now available through iTunes. So if you go to iTunes and search for Farkas Files, you will get the complete archive of the shows as well. So the show will be there. It'll be up on Empower Radio very shortly, and it'll be on iTunes probably tomorrow. Next week, got an absolutely fascinating guest, Deonna Kelly Said. I wanted to make sure I got her name correct. Among many things that are really interesting in her life, just wrote a book called Paranormal Obsession, America's Fascination with Ghosts, Haunting, Spooks, and Spirits. How often do we have an opportunity to talk to somebody who spent time researching that kind of stuff and what people are doing, why they're doing it, what they have to say about it? So I'm really looking forward to having that conversation with her. And we are just, you know, one of the things that I just want to say to people is that this is great fun for me. And it's great fun that you can access the information a lot of different ways. We're even going to be broadcast on a local FM radio station soon. So I'm glad that the Farkas Files is getting to as many people as it's getting to. And until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas here on the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. See you next week.